Thanks for tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters. What does it mean to truly follow Jesus? What does discipleship actually entail? Well, today, we'd like to welcome our special guest, Francis Chan, to discuss these and other topics as we focus on David Platt's new book, Follow Me, A Call to Die, A Call to Live. Francis has written the foreword to Follow Me and understands well the call to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Christ. Now to start today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. All this month, we've been talking about a resource that I want to put into your hands as my way of saying thank you for supporting the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. The book is titled Follow Me. It's a call to die, but more than that, it is a call to live. Again, available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. You can get your copy online in a safe, secure fashion for your gift at equip.org, or you can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, resource consultants are also standing by. The number to dial, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Remember that in the Great Commission, Christ called us not only to make converts, but to make disciples. And a disciple is a learner or follower of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. One of the secrets of growth in the early Christian church was the testimony of its love. And that love not only compelled early Christians to be ambassadors, but constrained the world to take notice of them. The love of Christ was so contagious, it swept, literally swept, through the whole Roman Empire like a wildfire. The book of Acts tells us that on the day that Stephen was martyred, a great persecution arose against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. And those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. And therein lies a secret of growth with respect to the early church. Every believer was a witness for Christ. And while it is true that not everyone is called to be an evangelist, everyone is called to evangelize. And that is why the church has to take seriously the task of equipping Christians to be reproducing disciple makers. I mean, consider what would happen if every evangelical Christian led just one person to faith in Christ each year. If we began with only 12 committed Christians and each of them led one person to Christ and discipled that person, next year there would be 24 believers. And if each of them in turn led one person to Christ and discipled that person, the third year there'd be 48 believers. And if that process continued, it would take fewer than 30 years to evangelize the 6 billion or more people alive today on planet Earth. And if in the same time frame the population doubled, it'd only take one additional year. Look, many people today are running from church to church to church in search of an ultimate experience, but no experience can compare with that of the Holy Spirit working through you in the process of bringing someone to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. No one knows that better than my guest today, Francis Chan. He is the best-selling author of books like Crazy Love, Forgotten God, Erasing Hell. He is also someone who is intimately connected with and concerned about making reproducing disciples. He was the pastor of a megachurch, but left that church because he wanted to experience authentic New Testament Christianity. Not only experience it, he wanted to affect it in our culture. And he wrote the foreword to David Platt's book, Follow Me. And he joins me now on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Francis, it is a pleasure to have you on the broadcast.
Thanks, Hank. It's great to be here.
I, of course, got to know you a little bit personally, along with several of my children over the last couple of years, and have followed your ministry. But at the root of your heartbeat is this desire to make reproducing disciple makers. And I think that's the basic reason that you were passionate enough to write a foreword, a very, well, I would say intoxicating foreword to the book by David Platt.
Yeah, I think David and I are so like-minded when it comes to this issue, because we just believe that this is what's going to cause the church to come alive, and that we've put way too much emphasis on just sitting under one person's teaching and putting so much reliance on the senior pastor as though he was supposed to lead everyone to the Lord and disciple them. We both are just so passionate about making sure everyone who calls himself a follower of Jesus understands that the Holy Spirit is in them for the purpose of going out and making disciples.
And it's really interesting in that you actually underscore that reality when you write the introduction to the book by David Platt called Follow Me, and you say that the church began in Acts 2 with 3,000 people converted, but by AD 100, there were somewhere around 25,000 followers, and by AD 350, there may have been over 30 million followers. So you see rapid multiplication, and you've alluded to this, but I mean, the truth of the matter is the apostles got in their licks too, but they stayed in Jerusalem. It was the believers who were scattered, and they shared the gospel wherever they went. They were reproducing disciple makers, and it was the believers who turned the world upside down. It wasn't the hired gun.
Yeah, and we see this in modern day, you know, just modern day history when you look at the church in China. I mean, it's amazing what's gone on there, because, again, it's the average person believing it was their responsibility and that they were empowered to go out and spread the gospel.
Yeah, it's interesting that you use the China model, because I've been to China many times, as you have, Francis, and there you don't really have a pastor and props, because pastors in the underground church simply don't work. There aren't enough pastors to go around in the registered church, much less the underground church. And so what you have is people that get together, small groups of people, but when they get together, they're involved in the work of ministry. They're involved in not only worship and oneness, but they're involved in witness. And as a result of that, just as you point out, the church is growing with vast rapidity.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they gather for the sake of receiving courage from one another, praying for each other, so that they go back out into the mission field. And I don't think we have that mindset. We, you know, in America, we go to church because we want to get something out of it. We want to feel good. We want to be convicted, or we want to grow. And it's not really about, gosh, come motivate me, because I got to get back out on the mission field. I got to go out and reach people. So pray for me. Help me out. Encourage me. Give me a word of encouragement to go out so that I keep doing it.
Talk about persecution, not only in China, but other places in the world. The church was born, as it were, in the cauldron of persecution. I remember being on a show in which the leader of the National Day of Prayer asked me to pray for the persecuted church in China, but my immediate reaction was, I hope the persecuted church in China is praying for us, because, again, persecution is what ultimately validates our faith.
Yeah, yeah, and, it, you know, when I was with the underground church in China and just hearing stories of their persecution, they saw how fascinated I was. Because I'm like, man, tell me another one. There was probably like 70 or 80, 20-something-year-old people in here. They're all trained to be missionaries. It was in a hidden location. And they were just talking about the times the police came, you know, shots were fired, where they're hiding and trying to, you know, breathe as softly as possible. But the life, the energy, the fire, and I just kept asking more questions. And I remember one of them finally said, "Well, why are you so interested in this?" And I said, because this isn't the way everyone lives. This is not the way churches in America. I said, for example, in America, there are buildings that we call churches, and people go and they attend them for an hour on Sunday. And if there's a building down the street that has a better speaker that Sunday, they may switch. Or if the music is better down the street, they'll switch. Or if the kids program is better down the street, they'll switch. Or if they get in a fight with this person or that person, or, you know, on and on. And they are just laughing hysterically because they're just going, you've got to be kidding me. How did you get that from the New Testament? You know, but their lifestyle, which was so congruent with what I see in Scripture, it really opened my eyes that we really are the strange ones. Like, say, you know, here's a billion people over here, and that's how they view what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And they even find it comical, this church attendance thing that we do, as though this were Christianity.
You know, one of the things that struck me about you is that you have actually been there, you've done that in terms of the mega church. So you're speaking from experience, and you left that. And I remember you telling me something, I can't remember the exact words, but let me paraphrase, and you can correct me if I didn't get this exactly right in my memory. But I remember you saying that you're almost embarrassed that people were driving from 3 or 4 hours away to hear you speak, because you felt as though you had become the attraction, eclipsing the attraction that should be the real attraction, which is Jesus Christ and the gospel.
Amen. And I told the people, I said, look, I hear the words Francis Chan more than I hear the words Holy Spirit. And that scares me. You know, how are we going to get anywhere if we put so much emphasis on a person? And not only that, I felt like I was hurting their growth. It's almost like my daughter, she graduates and a little over a month, graduates from high school, and it would really stunt her growth if I told her, you know what, you can just stay here for the next 30 years. But it's no, you got to go out in the power of the Spirit. I've trained you for this. Go start something, do something. There's something about just trusting the power of the Holy Spirit rather than just sitting comfortably under someone else's protection.
You say in your introduction to David Platt's book, which again, I want to emphasize, is what we want to put into your hands all this month for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. It is, I like to use the word intoxicating. When you read it, you start recognizing that we so often look at empty baubles that shimmer and glimmer, but when you get close to them, they dissipate. The real thing is much more significant. When you're a person through whom the Holy Spirit is moving in the process of changing another life, then you really, in earnest, experience God. Again, that's why Follow Me by David Platt is such a great motivator for us to become reproducing disciple makers. You can get it through the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or you can talk to one of our resource consultants at 888-7000 and the letter is CRI. But Francis, and I've said this many times, this book, if you just read the introduction, it would be worthwhile. I mean, I just love this introduction. And you start out talking about how the church you read about in the book of Acts seems so foreign to your experience. And it became one of the reasons that you wanted to find authentic New Testament Christianity in action.
Yeah, absolutely. That was my desire. That was the focus, is I wanted to see the real thing. And I think a lot of us feel that, though. I think it's something that a lot of us go through where we go, gosh, this seems so radical. It's what I wrote about in Crazy Love. We all know something is wrong, and I would always hear about the church in Asia and the way that they were. And so it was so good to actually be there and to see it and to experience it and to be in India and to be at a conference for the persecuted church and to talk to these people and to go, yeah, this is the way I always thought it should be, and to know that it's happening amongst billions of people. And it's just so foreign if you just stay here in the States.
Yeah, I want to talk about that when we come back from the break. It is true that you can have incredible experiences all over the world and see reproducing disciple making in action, but you can find it right here in the United States as well. In fact, you can be involved in that right here in the U.S. as well. You came back to America for a reason. I want to ask you about that when we come back from the break. Why did you come back to America, and of all places, San Francisco in America, and what in the world are you doing there? We're talking to Francis Chan. He wrote the foreword to David Platt's book, Follow Me. Francis Chan, in my view, is the real deal. He is living out the Christian life. He is committed to this whole process of reproducing disciple making, which is the goal, the purpose that Jesus Christ left us here for. We are called to be ambassadors of Jesus Christ. Most of us are secret agents. We've never blown our cover before the unregenerate world. Again, the book Follow Me by David Platt, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute all this month for your gift. Check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. We'll be right back in just a few moments with Francis Chan as we talk about following Jesus Christ, what it means to be a reproducing disciple maker.
Nothing is more horrifying for a Christian than the thought of hearing Christ say, "I never knew you," instead of, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But how many in the church today will hear those very words, and how can you be sure you won't? In appreciation for your gift of support today, we'll send you Follow Me by David Platt, one of Hank's favorite books on the authentic Christian life. Follow Me will convict, inspire, and transform you. So call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org to request your copy now. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff returns in a moment to answer more questions. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. At the time of Christ, slavery was universal in the civilized world, but by the 5th century AD, the influence of Christianity had all but eliminated it. How then, in the same Christian era, nearly a millennium later, could legalized slavery be revived in a far more brutal form? And what role did Christians play in finally abolishing it? Other topics include the Gospel of Jesus' Wife, Steve Jobs' Jesus and the Problem of Evil, Jihad, Jizya, and Just War Theory, the Euthyphro Dilemma, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Have you ever wanted to listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast on your phone or handheld device? Now you can with the Equip iPhone app, available for free from the Christian Research Institute. With the Equip iPhone app, you can take the Bible Answer Man with you wherever you go. Listen to the broadcast live, listen to archived programs, 3-minute Ask Hank features, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. All of this available for free from the Christian Research Institute. So go online to equip.org and click on the Equip iPhone app banner and download this free app today, or go to equip.org/app. That's equip.org/app. The Equip iPhone app is compatible with iPhone 5, iPhone 4, 4S, 3GS, iPad, iPod Touch, and requires iOS 6. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless natural processes, or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book. Now the Creation Answer Book is available in an unabridged audiobook format. So order your copy of the Creation Answer Book on audio CD today by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. There is nothing sadder or more damaging to the advance of the kingdom than a Christian life that's identical to a non-Christian life. In his book, Follow Me, pastor and Bible teacher David Platt explains that our quest for the cheap pleasures of this life shows we don't truly understand the vastly greater treasure Jesus offers when we seek fulfillment only in Him. Request your copy of Follow Me as our thank you when you support CRI with a gift today. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and all this broadcast devoted to talking to Francis Chan. He is best known, perhaps, as the best-selling author of books like Crazy Love, but he's also working on something very significant that I want to talk to him about today. And that is, he's working in the inner city of San Francisco, and he is very concerned about launching a worldwide discipleship movement. Francis, first of all, when we talk about your journey, as alluded to in the first segment of this broadcast, was from a mega church to another part of the world or different parts of the world, and now back to the U.S. Tell us about what you did and why you're back here.
Well, you know, I left the church largely because there was already such strong leadership there, and I knew there were so many places in the world where there isn't such a wealth of knowledge and biblical knowledge and strong elders, and I felt like the church was going to be fine there without me. And so, we, you know, at first as a family, we thought, well, maybe we're supposed to go to Asia, and I've always heard of the way the church is over there, and I want to learn from them and see if maybe we just fit better there. And so we had an amazing time there in China, in India, in Thailand, just as a family. I remember my wife was pregnant with our fifth kid, and in each country we're just praying, going, God, is this it? Is this where we want to be? Is this where you want us? I want to be where I'm most effective. And while we were in Hong Kong looking at apartments, I just really sensed the Lord wanted me back in the States, and not sure where, but wanted to be in a place where there weren't that many Christians. I felt like I wasn't done with what I was supposed to do in the States, and that God had given me a platform for a reason. And so we came back here not completely sure of the plan, just knowing that the focus had to be on making disciples. And the focus had to be on planting churches where they truly live like a body, truly like a family. And so we ended up in San Francisco. Don't want to bore you with details, but that's where we ended up. And I believe this is where God wants us. So here I am.
And tell me about this discipleship movement that you're seeking to effect.
Well, you know, it's the same thing. David and I are working together. And we started this ministry called Multiply, and the whole idea is just raising awareness of what the church ought to be, experimenting with new forms of gathering. And, you know, like currently I have like 30 people that meet in my house, and the whole point is we're going to live like a family, like deeply, deeply loving each other, caring for each other, encouraging each other to go out on mission, but also with the mindset that 6 months to a year from now, we're no longer going to be together. We're going to split into three different groups, and I'm discipling three of the guys to lead those groups. And then I'll find another 30 people, and we'll just keep doing this process with this mindset of saying, you know what, you need to learn. You need to learn quickly because you're going to reproduce this, and you're going to lead this. And so it's really about discipling people to the point where they can lead and they can share with others.
I wonder if you can be transparent and talk for a moment about the financial side of things. What I mean by that is here you are a pastor of a megachurch, you are a best-selling author, you know, you're engaged in ministry, but as a result of that, God is blessing you financially, but now you leave for Asia or India, and you have five children. Talk us through how you process that, because I think a lot of people are right there, maybe in different circumstances, but they're thinking about, what about my future? Will I be able to provide for my kids? How can we in those circumstances learn to lean upon the arm of God as opposed to leaning upon the arm of flesh?
Yeah, I would say God has been so faithful to me from day one. And the main issue, though, that my wife and I have just committed to from day one was, let's keep our expenses so low so that we're just always free to go wherever God wants us to go. And so, man, it was, lots of pasta, lots of rice, you know, those types of things early on, and just trusting God will always take care of us. Now, after years of ministry, suddenly the Lord decided to bless us financially with, you know, writing, which I never thought I'd be a writer, but that was kind of crazy. But again, we're like, well, we don't want this money because we're fine. We're fine without it, and we like to live simply, and yet this is a way to bless other people with those finances. And so to me, the secret is just keeping your expenses so low and being content with that. So even when the money comes in, it's still, there's better things to spend it on. So I don't know. Our lifestyle really has not changed a whole lot in 20 years. We just love being with each other, being a family, and being in ministry.
You know, going back to something you wrote in the foreword to David Platt's book, you allude to the Great Commission, where Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And then you say, you take a big chance if you ignore an assignment given to you from your boss at work. Most of us would never even consider it. So how can we ignore the King of the universe who will one day return as judge? Elaborate.
Well, you think about the way that is set up. I mean, Jesus rose from the dead. Okay, I mean, here, it's never been done. A man saying, I'm going to rise from the grave and doing it. Imagine the terror of those people when they see a man risen from the dead, and then he prefaces it with all authority in heaven and on earth. So every ounce of authority, I don't care what your mom says, I don't care what your teacher says, I don't care what, all authority has been given to me, and here's my command, go make disciples. I mean, that's the God of the universe prefacing it by raising from the dead and then saying that every ounce of authority has been given to me. And so for me, then, to come to the end of my life and say, I didn't make any disciples, I didn't baptize anyone, that's crazy to me, okay? I don't know. I don't know how we can take that lightly, but I think we've gotten in this mode in church where we're just used to hearing sermons, feeling convicted, feeling bad, but not actually repenting and going and doing something about it. And that scares me.
You are very transparent about that with respect to your own life. You were frustrated, you say, with your own inability to motivate people to structure their lives around disciple makers. And you say it's because you could generate excitement, but oftentimes you could not generate urgency, and you wanted the people to share their faith, but you rarely shared your faith yourself, and you expected the church to live an adventure, but you continued a dull old routine.
Oh, yeah, you reproduce yourself. And, you know, I mean, Paul says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ, as I follow Christ. And so, yeah, there were times, there were periods in my life when I was just kind of in the church office, preaching, counseling, but I wasn't doing the thing that scared me and the very thing that I was commanded to do, which was to go out and make disciples. And that means going and talking to people who don't believe like you do. I mean, Jesus was not saying, to those people on the mountain when he says, go and make disciples. He was not saying disciple one another. He was saying go and reach the people that haven't been reached yet, because I want people worshiping me everywhere. So even this morning, like I had about 10 guys that I was teaching this morning right here in San Francisco in this very room that I'm sitting at right now. And as we're getting ready to pray, I was like, you know what? We need to just get out on the street right now and go up to the projects and just start praying for people and pray for opportunities and talk. And man, we've been sitting around a little too long. And we all felt uncomfortable. Man, the easiest thing to do is just to stay in this room, just us Christians. But that's not what Christ has called us to do. And so again, going out, taking a step of faith, it's still hard for me. It's still difficult.
And you say that there's an irony here in that when people say they don't feel close to Jesus, you ask them if they're making disciples, because as they're making disciples, and I alluded to this in the opening of the broadcast, you feel the presence of the Holy Spirit moving yeah. through you in the process of changing lives.
Yeah, it's such a joy. Like, we came back from a couple hours just in the neighborhood, just so excited, going, gosh, it's so good to be fearless, to be courageous again. And it's just like Jesus, again, in the Great Commission said. He says, go, make disciples, baptize them, then Father, teach them to obey everything I command you, and I will be with you always to the end of the age. That's why I ask people, are you making disciples? If you don't feel close to Jesus, he says he'll be with us, but that's in the context of making disciples.
Talk for a moment about the book Follow Me by David Platt. Again, we're talking about your foreword in the book, and I think that that's worth getting the book alone. But talk about the significance of this book. I remember reading through this book the first time and feeling a real sense of conviction. In other words, I wanted to take an inventory of my own life.
Yeah. No, like I said before, I love David, and he has such a heart for the Lord. And I think we both just think the same way about this issue of discipleship. That, I mean, Jesus said very clearly to his first disciples, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. He didn't say, follow me and we'll go to church services together. There's a sense in which we are to be followers of Christ, mean we go and we proclaim the kingdom to people. And what I love about the book is he really starts off about what does it mean to even be a follower of Christ. Before we talk about going and making disciples, we got to look at our lives and go, do we even understand what it means to follow him? And I'm so glad he spent time to talk about that, because that's my concern. Is I think there are so many misled people who really believe, you know, that we're just taught, hey, pray a prayer and you're going to go to heaven. And they haven't really looked at the scriptures themselves to look at the very words of Jesus and ask us what he calls us to do, which is really to deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow him, which is about repentance and turning from our old lives and following him. And it's really dying to ourselves, and that's when we're really going to find life. And so I feel like people are missing it, and I get very concerned. So I'm very grateful for books like this that remind us, look, this is what it means to follow Christ, and that's not a bad thing. Losing your life to find it is a great thing.
And again, that is the subtitle, A Call to Die, A Call to Live. Follow Me, again, is the title. The book by David Platt, available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. Please be generous. We can't do what we do unless you stand with us prayerfully and financially. The gospel's free. Someone has to put in the plumbing. We're asking you to stand with us, and as our gift to you, our way of saying thank you, we'll send you out a book that is transformational. You can order your copy on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or you can talk to one of our resource consultants standing by at 888-7000, and the letter is CRI. We'll be right back with our final segment with Francis Chan. You just don't want to miss it. We're talking about things that really matter.
The search for truth is harder than ever in today's information overload culture. That's why when Hank finds a truly great book by someone who's firmly rooted in God's Word, he can't wait to share it with you. Follow Me by David Platt is a life-changing look at how we often replace true discipleship with empty activities and how you can find deeper fulfillment in Christ. It's our thank you for your gift today when you help CRI produce more truth-filled broadcasts and resources. To request your copy, call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Don't go away. Hank Hanegraaff will be back in a moment with more of the answers you need today. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book. Now the Creation Answer Book is available in an unabridged audiobook format. So order your copy of the Creation Answer Book on audio CD today by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Have you ever wanted to listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast on your phone or handheld device? Now you can with the Equip iPhone app available for free from the Christian Research Institute. With the Equip iPhone app, you can take the Bible Answer Man with you wherever you go. Listen to the broadcast live, listen to archived programs, 3-minute Ask Hank features, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. All of this available for free from the Christian Research Institute. So go online to equip.org and click on the Equip iPhone app banner and download this free app today. Or go to equip.org/app. That's equip.org/app. The Equip iPhone app is compatible with iPhone 5, iPhone 4, 4S, 3GS, iPad, iPod Touch, and requires iOS 6. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. For 75 years, youth ministries have breathed new vitality into major American church traditions. But their influence has also led to widespread spiritual immaturity, consumerism, and self-centeredness. Find out why Christians don't want to grow up. Other topics include Christianity and black slavery. Was St. Peter the first pope? Pi's wager, life of Pi as pragmatic argument, jihad and just war theory, observing the 40th anniversary of Roe versus Wade, the popular Ask Hank column, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Doing all the right things at church without actually following Christ? Follow Me by pastor and radical disciple maker David Platt is a life-changing look at the deep spiritual fulfillment we can all have when we trade slogans and platitudes for an authentic relationship with Christ. One of Hank's favorite discipleship books, Follow Me, is our thank you for your ministry support gift today to help CRI share God's truth. To request your copy with your gift today, visit equip.org or call 888-7000-CRI. Thank you. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Talking to Francis Chan, he wrote the introduction to David Platt's new book titled Follow Me. Of course, David Platt was the author of the New York Times bestseller, Radical. And this book really struck a chord with me, and that is why I want to put it into your hands as a way of saying thank you for supporting the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. As mentioned before, Francis Chan is a best-selling author of books like Crazy Love, but I think more significantly at this point, he's also seeking to launch a worldwide discipleship movement. And the reason, I think, Francis, that you are so intoxicated by doing that is you recognize that when people actually get out there in the marketplace of ideas and they start to feel the presence of the Holy Spirit and the power of God to change lives, they are themselves revolutionized. They become radical disciple makers, very much like a first century church that saw the resurrected Christ and knew that they too would rise, and as a result of that, did not fear the faces of men, but were willing to take the commission of Christ and change the world.
Yeah, there's always something about actually participating in the mission. Like, I remember when I came back from Africa the first time and talked to Cornerstone Church about giving, and they just gave so much money, but you should have seen how the church came alive at that moment. They would cheer every time I'd show them pictures of something we did overseas. I mean, it was just life to that. And in the same way, when it comes to actually sharing our faith, and when we muster up the courage by the power of the Spirit and we actually see life change and we were a part of it, man, I don't know what we could be a part of on earth that's more exciting than that. And so I feel like, one, people are missing out, but I also believe that the church will never be what the church was meant to be until people understand their place in that and their role in that, and they actually participate in the making of disciples.
I would be remiss at this point, Francis, if I didn't ask you to just pray for all of us, for yourself, for me, for Christians all around the world. Pray that God would change our heart.
God, help us to see how good it is when we follow you, God. We all have our fears, God. You know how scared I get, and the times when I fail, the times when I chicken out, God, and yet the times when I get to experience you are so, so wonderful. And so, God, we need you to give us that courage that we will go out in your name. So I pray that people would be honest about their fears, honest about the things that they're still holding on to, and not pretend that they're at peace with those things, God, but that we would surrender our reputations, surrender friendships at times, and surrender the unwillingness to make new relationships. God, I pray that we confess the times when we're just ashamed of the gospel and we're ashamed of the name of Jesus and to be associated with him. And would you change that, Lord? Help us to understand how foolish it is to be ashamed of that great name, and give us the courage to go out filled with the Spirit, telling people of the wonderful things that you've done in our lives. So, God, I do pray right now. I picture you in heaven hearing me, and I'm asking, God, would you change us and put a new boldness in us so that we go out and truly experience life by making disciples. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Francis. I'll tell you, we're just in the presence of God. If we really believe what the Bible says, when we knit our hearts together in prayer, he is listening to us, and he is intimately acquainted with every single detail of our lives. He loves us. I mean, it's incredible to me to think that the analogy is true, that not a hair falls from our heads that he doesn't care about it or know about it. But one of the things that David Platt talks about in the book Follow Me is people who are trying to conquer sin by working hard to change their actions. And he says that's much like superficial religion. We often seek to tame our desires with a list of do's and don'ts. We do what people in every other religion in the world do, going through certain motions and concentrating on certain disciplines in attempt to conquer sin from the outside in. And that's not really how it works. It works from the inside out, doesn't it?
It does. It does. I mean, I think about this morning, the prayer time I had with these guys. And it's interesting that you bring that passage up about not a sparrow falling from the sky or a hair falling from our head. That's the exact passage he took us to. And as we're praying and just enjoying the presence of the Lord and in that time of worship, that's where all of that came to us. It's like, you know what? I want to get out on the street. I actually want this right now. It wasn't a forcing of anything. Yes, there was fear or whatever, but those passages gave us this boldness that came from within, came from the Word of God through the Holy Spirit, where we walked out there going, you know what? There's no way we can die unless this was a day that was ordained for us. We are immortal until the Lord takes us home and decides. And he ordained that before we were born. And so it created this fearlessness that came from the Word of God through the Holy Spirit that really was from the inside out. And then it made the action so much easier and more enjoyable as we went out.
You know what I appreciate about you so much, Francis, is your transparency, talking about the fact that you had fear. And I think so often what happens is you write a bestseller, you become the leader of a worldwide movement or a ministry, and people put you up on a pedestal and they forget that you have the same clay feet, that you go through the same difficulties. We all put our pants on one leg at a time. I mean, there's no real dichotomy between the person in the pew and the person in the pulpit when it comes down to the practicality of real everyday living. And I think you're trying to stress that.
Oh, yeah. Man, I mean, some things come easy to me. I can get in front of a crowd of Christians. I don't care how big it is. And it's second nature to me. But sit me next to someone who doesn't believe like I do and tell me that it's my job to share the gospel with them, and I am just terrified. I don't, you know, for me, I mean, you're the Bible answer man, but for me, I go, man, what if they ask me something I can't answer? Hmm. And I get scared. I don't remember things. I think, oh, their knowledge is going to be beyond my, you know, quick story. It's like I was sitting next to this gal. There was one empty seat between us. But I thought, man, I should share with her. I should start a conversation. I got so nervous that I didn't say a word and got off the plane, went and preached to 1,000 pastors about courage, and go back to the airport 2 hours later, feeling like a total hypocrite, and get back on a plane to fly back to L.A., and guess who sits right next to me? The same girl. I mean, it was just unbelievable. But now to the seat right next to me, we start laughing. And I'm telling this girl, like, look, you and I know this isn't a coincidence. Man, I was supposed to ask you if you needed anything to pray about this morning. And I totally chickened out. And we had this great conversation. She told me why she hated the church. And just it was just this beautiful time where I think I opened her eyes to Christ a little bit more. But I walked away going, God, thank you. Thank you for your grace. You saw that I was afraid. You saw that I failed this morning, and you gave me another chance. Thank you. And so I say that to share, man, I am just like anyone else out there that has chickened out in the past, that has been ashamed, that doesn't know how to start a conversation, and is scared I don't have the right answers. Thank God for his grace. And thank God for his Spirit, that more and more the courage is growing as other believers are encouraging me in that area.
Thank you so much for that. It was not all humorous, but boy, this is just how God is. And I want to close the broadcast today with your comments on a quote that David Platt includes in his book, Follow Me. Let me read it to you. It's a quote by C.S. Lewis, where he says, if there lurks in most modern minds the notion that to desire our own good and earnestly to hope for the enjoyment of it is a bad thing, I submit that this notion has crept in from Kant and the Stoics and is no part of the Christian faith. Indeed, if we consider the unblushing promises of reward and the staggering nature of the rewards promised in the Gospels, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We're half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us, like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. I think you would echo that.
Amen. Amen. There is nothing like experiencing the move of Almighty God. an answered prayer as you're going out and making disciples. And as much as I love, yeah, I enjoy surfing, golfing, you know, eating at a nice restaurant, there's nothing that compares to experiencing God Himself while you're here on this earth.
Well, bless you, Francis. You have blessed our audience. I thank you so much for your work, for your writing, and for spending an hour with us on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and appreciate so much what you did in writing the foreword to this book. I think it is a great addition to the book, and in total, a book that can transform lives.
Yeah. Thanks, Hank. Great to be with you.
God bless you, my friend. Again, the book Follow Me by David Platt, introduction by Francis Chan. It's a call to die. It's a call to live. The subtitle, A Call to Die, A Call to Live. In taking up the cross and dying to self, you find life that is life indeed. This is a book that is transformational. Not only is it possible, but according to David Platt, it is also highly probable, which is to say, it is possible for people to say they believe in Jesus, but not truly be born again. Is it possible for people to claim that they have accepted Christ into their hearts and yet not actually be Christians? Again, not only possible, but highly probable. This is a book that is challenging, is convicting, but ultimately will be liberating if you take its principles and apply them to your life. And what's great about the book is at the end, there's an opportunity to do just that. He gives you a practical guideline of what you can do to take what you have learned and now to implement them. This is so important. Jesus says, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man. James also talks in the same vein about a guy who looks in a mirror and sees that his face is dirty, but then forgets to wash it. How foolish. We need to take what we have learned and put it into practice. This book helps us do just that. The book is available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. Again, all this month you can order on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, Resource Consultants are standing by that number, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Thanks for listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off, we'd like to thank Francis Chan for being our guest today. If you'd like to receive a copy of David Platt's Follow Me for a gift to the ministry, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. At the time of Christ, slavery was universal in the civilized world. But by the 5th century AD, the influence of Christianity had all but eliminated it. How then, in the same Christian era, nearly a millennium later, could legalized slavery be revived in a far more brutal form? And what role did Christians play in finally abolishing it? Other topics include the Gospel of Jesus' Wife, Steve Jobs' Jesus and the Problem of Evil, Jihad, Jizya, and Just War Theory, the Euthyphro Dilemma, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. At CRI, our goal is to teach more people to understand God's Word more clearly so they can follow Christ more closely
And you are a vital part of that, because every Bible Answer Man broadcast and CRI resource is entirely listener-supported. That's why we're asking for your gift of support today, to help CRI equip you and countless other people for a more authentic Christian life. As our thank you, we want to send you David Platt's Follow Me, one of Hank's favorite books on discipleship. Follow Me is a life-changing look at why we can be doing all the right things at church but still feel something missing, and how you can find deeper fulfillment in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org to give your gift and request your copy of Follow Me.